You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. You put a zero in front of 16, and you've got Detroit Lions history, a 0-16 record, the biggest loser in the NFL. They've got to make a comeback for next year. How could they do anything but? So share the story you think is the best comeback ever in your life.
Hi, this is Michael from Eatontown, New Jersey. I think one of the best comeback stories I can think about is the Vanessa Williams scandal from Miss America. And later on, she ended up singing for Disney's All the Colors in the Wind.
Yeah, she was toast.
Yeah,
she
that's a good toast. Comeback. She certainly did make that.
Yes, she did. That's good. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one. And we're going to turn to New Orleans where
speaking
they're hoping.
Of comebacks.
I know, speaking of comebacks, right? They're certainly banking on a long-term one. It's not something that's going to happen in the short term. But right now, the Biennial of International Contemporary Art Show is underway. It's called Prospect One, and by many counts, it's been an enormous success. Not only for the more than 80 artists involved from all over the world, but for the citizens of New Orleans and the hordes of tourists it's brought to the battered and still recovering city. For a look at how the art has brought such good things to New Orleans, we're joined by Lawless Eric Eli, a Metro columnist for the Times-Picayune. Lawless, welcome back.
It's my pleasure, Dora.
So what has made this art show so special for the city?
Well, part of what happened is that the show is an international exhibition, the best in contemporary art from around the world. But obviously, most local artists were not included, and that was not a part of the design. But the community has responded by creating auxiliary exhibit spaces so that local artists are also widely exhibited throughout the city. So it's become a far more participatory project than it might have been envisioned otherwise.
And it's spread all over the city, right? It's not like just in the French Quarter or just at Jackson Square. There are some parts of it that exist in the Ninth Ward, for example.
Exactly. Now, that was Dan Cameron's vision. He's the curator. And part of what he was trying to figure out is how the visual arts could contribute to the recovery of New Orleans. And by putting the exhibition throughout the city, it means, first of all, that tourists are forced to go beyond the usual confines of the Arts District and the French Quarter. But it also means that New Orleanians, who may not usually go to these other areas of the city, are forced to do the same thing. And I should say happily forced in this way.
Well, how does the visual art relate to what are very arresting visuals still in New Orleans from the aftermath of Katrina? And you know, Katrina or not, New Orleans has always been a memorable, outrageously visual city to begin with.
Well, there are a range of responses from the artist. Many of them are doing site-specific work. So you have, for example, the Noah's Ark kind of replica, which obviously has clear storm implications. You also have an artist who has created a kind of replica of a damaged home from the storm. But other aspects of the art are just the artist's vision that is not necessarily related to the storm per se. So it really is a range of work giving you some sense both of the range of the city's experience and the range of contemporary art around the world.
And what's been the response? Are you measuring it by numbers, by excitement, by the psychological effect?
For me, I'm most interested in the prospects for long-term impact, in that certainly in the first few weeks, the number of people coming to see the exhibitions was incredible. Obviously, in an 11-week exhibition, that has waned to some extent, and my guess is that it will pick up again in the last week or so, particularly as New Orleanians realize that it's our last chance to go and see it. But what has happened that has been so amazing to me is that several spaces around the city have turned themselves into galleries to attract some of the Prospect One visitors. So there's an old furniture store, which was never reopened after the storm, that is now a major exhibition space. There's a huge middle school that, again, had not reopened since the storm. And that school, Colton Middle School, appears poised to be a kind of artist collective with exhibit spaces for dozens of artists.
That's a beautiful story, Lawless. And I guess this is a hard question to ask, but you're the best person to ask it, I think. You know, we in New York and other places around the country think of repair from something like Katrina as a complete whitewash, a complete sort of redevelopment where the evidence of what happened is obliterated. It seems to me that New Orleans, which has carried so much of its history visually in every street and alley, is going to also on some level preserve the Katrina moment in a way that doesn't erase it.
Well, it's crucial that that remain in our memory because in many ways the threat implicit in Katrina is ongoing. The failure of the federal levees, the loss of the wetlands, those kinds of problems still threaten us. We've got to keep that as part of our psyche and figure out how to get beyond it.
And the exhibit goes through January 18th. Lolas, always a great pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
Lolas Eric Eli is a Metro columnist for the Times-Picayune. He is also the co-director of a new documentary film, Faubourg Tremé. It's about the civil rights movement of the 1800s and the lessons of that era that are being relearned today in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina.
And Lolas, say hi to all our friends at WWNO there in New Orleans.
I'll be certain to do so.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now we go to Femi Oke, who's got the headlines.
And the time is 27 minutes past the hour.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.